Today's Perek Hayom is the second Perek of Yehoshua. So yesterday we learned about the preparations for the crossing of the Yarden, the result of the Nevius that was given to Yehoshua. Today we're going to learn about the sending of the Meraglim by Yehoshua, which again did not seem to be included in anything that was mentioned earlier. It's not even clear when exactly this took place, because Rashi says, look, it's got to be that it took place during the time of the Avilut of Moshe, because otherwise there wouldn't have been enough time for them to go and to come back, as we're going to see in analyzing the number of days. Not everyone agrees with that, particularly the Gra doesn't agree with it, and we'll see how that works out in the days. But what's fascinating here is that the story, of course, does not really involve Meraglim. It's almost the opposite kind of story of the original Meraglim. And if you look into the Perek, you will see that the words Anashim occurs 12 times. Exactly connected the Meraglim that Moshe Rabbeinu said, which were Kulam Anashim, and which means that the whole point here, indeed, as many Midrashim that point out the difference based on Pesukim and Mishlei, the whole point is the contrast between the Mishloach Meraglim of Moshe Rabbeinu and that which Yehoshua did. And you'd think that, boy, you would have learned your lesson not to have Meraglim again. And what would be the point of Meraglim again? It's the contrast per se that's important. First of all, Vayishlach Yehoshua b'nun men ha-shitim shnayim anashim meraglim cheresh lemor, l'chu ra'u et ha'aretz v'et yericho, v'yalchu v'yavo beit isha zona u'shma racha v'yishkvu shama. So first of all, Yehoshua sends two anashim. We know anashim are anashim that are chashuvim, but it doesn't give their names. That's exactly the opposite. In the whole parsha of Meraglim is, and these are the names. To this shevet it's X, and to this shevet it's Y, and so on and so forth. Here there's no names. As a matter of fact, many learn the word cheresh. What does cheresh mean? Cheresh means quietly. So in other words, you can't hear it. That even the Bnei Yisrael couldn't hear it. So in other words, there would be no, the way the Targum has it, is Beraz. It was a secret. He didn't want a completely secret mission, not only from the people that he sent him to. There's an interesting medrash that says cheresh means pretend that you're deaf. So if you pretend that you're deaf, everyone will keep around talking around you without thinking that they need to be careful about the... So they go to the house of an Isha Zona, and obviously a Zona would have to mean a whore as well, because it always does, and we'll see that the Gemara takes for granted that that's the main point of Rachab. And the reason they would go to an Isha Zona... So if you take the Poshut meaning of Zonah to be over here for the kids, an innkeeper, which is certainly also true, there's just there's other services that are provided in inns as it is today. That's the standard in most good hotels. So then the reason that they would go to a place like that is because that's where people would gather, and everybody's getting a little drunk, and they're talking, and so on. And particularly, there's people there that are hard of hearing and can never respond to what you're saying to them. First of all, it gives you a good reason not to talk and have them recognize your accent as being strange, as in the Inglorious Bastards. That would be a terrible disaster. But it also allows you to hear, because people are going to talk. However, this brings up one of the other most amazing differences. And that is, it doesn't say what it is that they're supposed to be looking at. It doesn't say the Tiva Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't talk about the Peros and so on. It turns out that the only message that they bring back is the way that people are looking at them, which is also an unbelievable contrast. When they come in, and it turns out this is called the Pinchas, as we'll see later on, that this is what Chazal have been Mesorah. But when they come in, they find that basically the country has given up. But when the Meraglim and Moshe go in, they say, we looked at ourselves as ants, basically. And that's how they looked at us. The difference in the mutual recognitions is amazing. Total contrast. And what is also tremendously striking is the need to give us this whole story with the Tikvat Chut HaShani, with this strange whore that ends up marrying Yehoshua, according to the Gemara, ends up mothering eight different Nevi'im in the history of Klal Yisrael. And this should be the whole story of the opening gambit into coming into Eretz Yisrael, Halo Davar. Something is very, very different. The ambience is a different ambience. Now let's take a look and see what it's about. Vayeyamer l'melech Yericho le'mor, somebody, we don't know who, told the king of Yericho, hina anashim bo'ena ha'layla b'mnei Yisrael, lachpor et ha'aretz. Again, anashim, again, lachpor, which is the language used by Moshe. Vayishlach melech Yericho rachav le'mor, hotzihi anashim b'imei layich, asher bo l'veitech, ki lachpor et kol ha'aretz bo. So apparently there was some recognition that Rachav's area was generally like a Swiss bank, so to speak. However, says the king, in this case, look, even though they were bo levetech, and generally we let you off of any investigations, this is very dangerous, you've got to hand them over. It's sort of like what Obama is claiming from the Swiss banks now, right? And so she takes them. Matikach eishat shnei anashim vatitzpino, vatomer kein, it's true, bo elai anashim, v'lo yadati me'ayneima. They did come, I had no idea, of course, that they were spies. So, first of all, the question over here is, why does David Yitzbino, she hid him, if it's two people? So, sometimes we do find that Lashon Rabbim is then related back to as a group, in which case you use the Lashon Yachid. Some understand it to mean, hid each one separately so that they weren't together. Chazal understand it to mean that Pinchas said, don't bother hiding me. Because when they come, I'll simply say, this is not the droid you're looking for. And indeed, they don't see me. So that since I am Kamala, we talked about Kamala Hashem Tzvakot, and that's the Kohen. I'm a Kohen, and if I decide that they shouldn't see me, they won't see me. So it was only about Tzpino. She only needed to hide Caliph. Vayia Charles Gord, she continues to tell the king, the gate was about to close, Bachoshech, as the sun was setting, and Anashim Yatso, they slipped out right at the door closing. Lo yadati ana halchu anashim. I have no idea. They didn't say where they were going, but I would say ritfu maher acharei kitasigun. They just got out of here. If you take fast horses, you're bound to catch up with them. V'yihe alatam hagaga. Now this is not what necessarily happened afterwards. In other words, this may be the explanation going back to when it says vatitzpino. This is how she did it. Not that she kept them off and pretended. And vatitzpino is the I intend to be Tzpino. It's not clear from the pasuk. Very often we find that we explain the Maisa afterwards. What had actually happened was, we didn't want to interrupt the discussion between her and the Shlichim of the king, but what had actually happened was she had brought them up to the roof. Vatitzpinim bepishtei ha'etz ha'aruchat la'al hagag, she had covered them over with pishtan that was drying on her roof. And meanwhile, the anashim that were coming from the king, ratfu achareim derech ha'yarden alam abirot, they went to, on the road to the Yarden, to the bridges over the Yarden, or the simple meaning of ma'abirot is the area of the Yarden that is so rocky and the water level so low that you can simply walk across the Yarden on the ma'abirot, which is obviously the case today. And at that point, ashar sagoru, they closed the gate. They didn't leave it open for the people to come back, which meant that she could not get rid of them through the gate. The Hema Terem Yishkavun, before they went to sleep, he alta aliyam al agag, she went up to the gag to speak to them. Vatomer al anashim, yadati ki natan Adonai lachem et ha'aretz, v'chi naflai matchem aleinu, v'chi namogu ko yoshvei ha'aretz mitnechem. Look, I know what's coming. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the land. Ki shamanu et asher avish Adonai et mei yamsuf b'ptechem b'tzeitchem in Mitzrayim. We've heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. V'asher asitem l'shnei malchei ha'amori asher behevar ha'yardein. And we know how you wiped out Sichon v'Og, which we thought were impenetrable. L'sichon v'Og asher haramtom otam. Nothing was left of them. V'nishma v'yimasu v'avenu. We heard about this. And we've melted away. There's no longer any spirit in anybody to resist you. And not only that, I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly the Melech HaKol Aretz, and because of that, really she indicated her desire to be mitgayeret. Now here, as Rashi points out, she was uniquely qualified to say velo kama od ruach v'ish, because this means that nobody could get erect, lo kama od ruach v'ish, which implied that they had lost their virility. Now, who's going to know that except Ruach HaZonah? And she, as the Gemara in Zavachin says, she had become a Zonah at the age of 10. It was 40 years. She was 10 years old at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. During that entire period of the 40 years in the Midbar, she had slept with every leader of every country. She was famous. You came to Yericho, which was, you'll notice at the beginning, Eretz and Yericho. What is that supposed to mean? Ruach Eretz ve'et Yericho. Whenever we have that lashon, it means that is an indication of the whole. That's the most important part of the whole. So that the focus on Yericho was indeed meaningful. So we mean everybody would come to Yericho. Rachav was the one who was really, like we look today at the Washington matron. You know, so these are the women that really are behind everything. They know what's going on. This is exactly what they needed to hear. So the going to Rachav is unique. And by the way, there's modern equivalents of the loss of virility and sexual desire in a case where you feel you're defeated. That's true, by the way, even in animals, obviously. I mean, it's the reproductive game is part of the ability to defeat. You feel defeated, so you've lost. So therefore, she says, V'ata yishavu na'liv Adonai ki asiti imachem chesed. V'asitem gam atem im beit avi chesed, v'natatem li ot emet. Look, I mean, the bottom line is, I'm not threatening you. That's clear. She's talking about chesed. In other words, like this, you could say that they're still there. All she has to do is pick up the phone, you know, and the cops are there in a minute. So, you know, what's she going on about? She's threatening them. But no, the whole point is, look, I understand. There's no way. There's nothing I can do. There's no point in my doing anything. On the contrary, I'm on your side. And what I want, in fact, to have is a promise from you that is more than you owe me. And that's why it's chesed. The first part, she doesn't say chesed. In other words, that she should be saved is not a chesed. But that in exchange for saving them, they should save her entire family, that is a tremendous chesed that she's asking. And she's saying it's in exchange for the chesed, not in exchange for my saving you. I want you to save my entire family. My father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and everything that they have. You have to save us from the death that's going to happen to everybody else in this town. If indeed you keep this private and nobody else tries to take advantage of it, then we are basically swearing to you that it's our lives in exchange for theirs. It's like a lashon of shvua, chai, yani. V'haya b'teit Adonai lanu et ha'aretz, v'asinu imach chesed ve'emet. Indeed, we owe you nothing for this. We get nothing from you for this. And therefore, it's chesed shel emet. And this is the level of our interrelationship. You jumped in, and we'll jump in. Now, lamaisa, for that jumping in, there was a tremendous punishment to Klal Yisrael. It's fascinating, because everything else that we know about Rachav is positive. The one time that we see any element that's negative is the unbelievable irony of Rachav being the source of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Says HaKadosh Baruch, okay, you jumped in to accept somebody at this point where I told you to wipe out the whole country. She's not a Giyorit yet. So no, it's all fine, great, we jump in. She's not a Giyorit. And because of that, the same person you accepted will give birth to the Navi that is going to let you know that it's all over. That's the Navi of the Churban. So the Kenisal Aretz and the Churban of the Aretz are both related through Rachav. Now that is an unbelievable indication that Rachav is really a central figure in the whole relationship that we have to Eretz Yisrael. The very fact that we have this whole story, which is basically irrelevant to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, what happens with Rachav and with this Tikvat Chut HaShani and her marriage to Yehoshua and her relationship to Nevi'im, the whole thing points to something strange explaining the nature of Yerusha's Aretz that otherwise we wouldn't have been aware of. Now the truth is the ultimate contrast, I think, between the original Meis Meraglim and this one is specifically the sensual component, the desire that there should be an actual sexual connection to Eretz Yisrael. This is expressed early on in the Chumash itself, where at the time of the Knesset Haaretz, which is the song that was about the Eshad and the Nechalim Hashem Mata Leshevet Ar, so as Rashi says, that was a very weird kind of thing. So the Goyim would be sitting inside caves on one side to drop bombs on the Bnei Yisrael who were walking along the chasm underneath.
Nachal Arnon.
Nachal Arnon, exactly. And in that Nachal, they were going to be killed. So now what happens? Eretz Yisrael is so desirous of greeting Bnei Yisrael, so the land actually moves to greet Bnei Yisrael. Now, just so happens that there were male components to the female components, which were the caves, that were sticking out of the other side, and that stuck themselves into the holes where the goyim were, crushed them, and the blood that was coming down Nachal Arnon was the only way that the Jews understood what must have happened with tremendous nace. Now, obviously, the Ramazim are very similar to the Ramazim of Rochav, which means that the way to understand the whole penetration of the Yarden, the Karka Bitula that had to be there, the putting of the stones there to say, we were here, and then taking the stones out and making them as Mizbeach, this whole thing is very connected to the Knesa, to Eretz Yisrael, Bichla. So it means that one of the underlying issues in the original Meraglim was the data vision as opposed to the connection vision. Coming to Yericho was entirely a function of how we connect. And you'll notice that Rachav, which means wide open, that's the point of Rachav Veklal, is very similar, and the Medrash makes this comparison to Yitro. Who said more? She knew everybody personally, intimately. Yitro knew every god personally, intimately. Both of them say, Ata Yadati, so to speak. Yisro gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and comes now after hearing Kriyas Yamsuf, the very thing that was part of the Milchama Neged Amalek. She is the one, and says the same thing, we hear about Kriyas Yamsuf. So that, in effect, what we have over here is an opposite vision of Yitro, in which both of them are strangely related to Amalek. Yitro, we know, always is related to Amalek. We'll see more of the Eishes Chevra Keni later, and the relationship to Amalek of Cain. She is related to Amalek in a very weird way, because the Gemara says, I mean, obviously through Yehoshua, because the Milchemes Amalek is with Yehoshua. But again, if the issue of Amalek is Asher Karcha Baderach, the important thing of Rachav, says the Gemara, the most important thing of Rachav to know is that anybody who knows Rachav spontaneously ejaculates if he says the word Rachav, Rachav. Bishma. Strange. Biyoda umakira. Which means that the relationship to Rachav, and this is compared to the other beautiful women in the Torah, and what is unique about her. We talk about Esther, we talk about Sarah, unbelievable. Yeah, in Megillah Bedavka. So again, all of these issues, Knesset La'aretz, Zechus Eretz Yisrael, the relationship to beautiful women, which had to do with the Yetzia from Eretz Yisrael, now the actual Knesset La'aretz, which becomes the Tikvat Chut HaShani, which is the vision of where we're going, that connects her to Yehoshua, is seen as being so important that it's the second parak of Yehoshua, which is remarkable. So they make this promise.
For
Bnei Yisrael. That's right, exactly. The Otniel ben Knaz, and so they all lived in the shadow of the destruction of Yericho. That's what they lived from beautifully. Vatoridem b'chevel, and so what she did was she took a string. Vatoridem b'chevel ba'arachalom. Because she could not get them out of the actual gate. Ah, but she didn't use a ladder. Now, that would have been a lot more convenient. Says the Medrash, that's why Yirmiyahu was dragged out on Chavalim from the board that they had thrown. So he said, couldn't I be zeicha to a ladder? They were dragging me. It was in pain. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, well, you know, your schus, you came from Rochav. She didn't use a ladder. You're not going to get more than that. That's how, even in detail, the relationship is, right? Kiveta betira chomal v'chomai yoshavet, which of course has the double meaning of not simply the physical location, but it means that the gateway to Yericho, the entrance to Yericho, the wall around Yericho, are the attitudes that come from Rachav. Vatomer lehem, ahara lechu, run to the mountains, ben yivguba kama rotfim. They're running after you on the road. Menachbetem shama shloshet yamim. Now, these 3 days, according to the Gro, these 3 days are the 3 days of the Hachana, of the Tzeda, that Yoshua was talking about. Rashi feels that they must have been able to give the entire journey from beginning to end by the time that they had gone. Therefore, he must have sent them earlier. So, Ad Shova Rotfim, V'achar Tevchul Adar Kachem. So, 3 days from now, then you can go back.
I mean, it's a 40-second run from Yericho to the hills behind it. So, instead of trying to cross towards base camp, run back counterintuitive, nobody will ever think of looking for you there.
Okay. V'ayumre, thank you. V'ayumre Elea Anashim, Nikiyim Anachnu Mishvatech Hazeh Ashesh Ba'atanu. We want you to know that we are making this conditional on the following. You take this red string and hang it from the same window that you let us out of. Bring them all into that room. We're telling you right now, anybody who violates these conditions, our shvul was not chal on them. But anybody that is hurt, that is with you in the house, it's on our heads. There's a further condition. If anybody knows about this, then the whole thing is canceled. Vatomer, and she accepted those conditions. At that point, she sent them away. They went, and she immediately, which is remarkable because it only should have been put there at the time that they were actually around Yericho. So it means that she saw the tikva as a double meaning of hope, connection, kav, and it was that drew her directly back to Yoshua, from the actual Alicha, meaning her heart went with them. Those who chased them were looking all along the road, found nothing, and then after the 3 days, they went out of the mountains, v'yavru v'yavol Yoshua bin Nun, v'yisapru lo et kol ha-motzot otam, they told him over the whole story, v'yomru el Yoshua, ki natan adunoi b'yadeinu et kol ha-aretz, v'gam namogu ko yoshvei ha-aretz b'paneinu. So obviously the intent here of the shlichut was the question of the attitudes of the Bnei Yisrael versus the attitudes of Kinan. What those attitudes were would be kiveya, the nature of the kivush ha-aretz.